Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
So grateful to have you in the house today. We're continuing our series on the anatomy of a breakthrough right here in the middle, five Sundays in August. This is our third in this series. We'll do two more. And it's taken me a little longer to get to where I want to, but it's all on God's timing. But we're going to finish the final ingredients out of the 10 today for your breakthrough. How many of you can and not just cliche, but how many of you can say, man, all the people on the balcony today, God bless you up there. We appreciate you, and we know that social distancing is important, but we thank you for being here, even if it's so far up there. I probably look skinny to you from way up there. I mean, I think somebody gave me a thumbs up, I guess, or they're saying I need to hug you like this. But anyway, thank you for being here. How many of you can honestly say, no cliche, no hype, but Pastor, I need a breakthrough in my life? All right, I got a lot of hands, and I had somebody shout out, I need a breakthrough in my life. I got my hand up, so I'm preaching to myself today. There are certain things in your life that have to happen for a breakthrough. And this is where we have to get faith moving in the right direction. Most of the ingredients for your breakthrough by themselves are bitter ingredients. Things that you don't want to go through, things that you don't want to taste. But when you put them together, it makes a cake that is so delicious. The problem is getting all those things and the right amount of them all together to make. And so I want to encourage you today, there's some things that we're going to get through so that we can get to where God has called us. And you're not going to break down, you're going to break through. You're not going to break up, you're going to break through. You're not going to go over, come on church, you're going to break through. You're not going to have to go around, you're going to break through in Jesus' name. Somebody say breakthrough. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, I'm going to read it two translations, the King James Version, the Passion Translation. First KJV says it like this: there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Somebody say God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, if you have it, you can handle it. 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Passion Translation reads it like this: we all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being, but God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity, nature, and timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. And each test is an opportunity to trust Him more, for along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. And one thing that we discussed in the first session 2 weeks ago was this, that when God says, I've already made a way for you to escape the temptation, that way is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So that means when temptation shows up, Jesus shows up. When trial shows up, Jesus shows up. When tribulation shows up, come on, Jesus shows up. So don't fear the tribulation, the temptation. Don't fear that and look over temptation's shoulder, because when temptation walks in the room, so does your God. Praise God. You may be seated. The Anatomy of a Miracle, Part 3. The last session, last week, we talked about the first five ingredients. I'll go through those very quickly. And these are things that have to be necessary. There's 10 of these. And it's not 6 out of 10, 3 out of 10, 4 out of 10. All 10 of these, in every breakthrough that I've ever needed in my life, these 10 have showed up. Now, sometimes there's more of one ingredient than other times, but these 10 are all present. Number one, for you to have a breakthrough, there must be an impossibility. Impossibility should be something that you embrace as a believer, because impossibility ceased to exist when you said yes to Jesus. Because your Bible and my Bible says that with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are made possible. That's a good place to say amen. That means when impossibility shows up as a believer, I'm not scared of the impossible, but I've learned to embrace the impossible because I know if impossibility has shown up, God has already made a way for that impossibility to become possible. That's why you don't need a breakthrough for a cough. You need a breakthrough for cancer. That's why you don't need a breakthrough so you can pay your $70 phone bill. You need a breakthrough because you're about to lose your house. You don't need a breakthrough because your girlfriend of 2 weeks cheated on you and you're no longer relationship, but you've got a marriage of 27 years that the devil's trying to tear apart and you need a breakthrough. It seems impossible and he's already packed his bags and the divorce papers are on your counter waiting to be signed. I am here to tell you, never give up on what God has blessed you or promised you with. And if it seems impossible, that's the first ingredient you need for your miracle, for your breakthrough. The number two ingredient you have to have is the feeling of quit. How many of you have ever felt like quitting on anything? Come on. That feeling of quit, I'm going to tell you, it's okay. And I believe that brings freedom when I tell you it's okay to feel like you want to quit as long as you never give in to the feeling of quit. There's times where you thought, man, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go tell my boss off. Can I encourage you? Tell him off in your head and then show up to work the next day. Come on. Press past the feeling of quit because just on the other side of the feeling of quit is your breakthrough. Number three, the waiting season. How many of you hate to wait? Man, I hate to wait. You've heard me preach entire sermons on patience, and you've heard me talk about Whataburger's third lane. Come on now. There's a lot of people who work at Whataburger here. I'm not hating on Whataburger. I'm hating on the system. McDonald's made the second drive-thru window popular. Whataburger made the third drive-thru lane unpopular. And there's nothing worse than sitting behind 10 cars. And then when you finally get up, they say, we're going to need to pull you to pull up to lane C. And then people that got there behind you after you are getting their food. Come on now. Sometimes somebody that hasn't been waiting as long as you is going to get their breakthrough before you. And let me tell you what you do. When they get their breakthrough, you praise God with them. You don't know what they're expecting. They don't know what you're expecting. And it could be the process for your waiting is longer because you need something bigger. You need God to do something more incredible in your life. They might be fighting for a lesser prize, and you might be fighting for the prize of your life. And so the third ingredient is the waiting season. Being able to say, God, I need it today, but if it takes you till October, I'm good with that, and I will stand in faith that what you have promised, come on, church, you will perform. Number four, you need an antagonist. You need somebody, something in your life that is against you breaking through. You know what makes the Chicago Bulls the greatest team to ever live, the 96, 97, 90, is because of their competition. They weren't beating 10 guys that show up at Living Way on Sunday nights to play basketball. They were, and I'm not hating on the men at Living Way, but you're no Chicago Bulls. I'm just making the point. Brother Jerome, I'm sorry. You could have made it. You could have. I'm sorry. I hear him groaning in the back. The reason the Chicago Bulls are great is because of the competition that they faced. When competition is great, it's going to bring out the best in you. And so the antagonist that shows up, sometimes it's Satan. Sometimes it has nothing to do with Satan. Sometimes it's just life. Sometimes it's just the haters in your life that Satan really didn't even send to you. It's just a part of life. Guess what? Some people are going to love you. Some people are going to hate you. Some people are going to cheer for you. Some people are going to try to pull you back. Some people are going to tell you why you can't. Some people are going to tell you why you can. And so understand that every great story has an antagonist that says you can't, you won't, and you shouldn't. And it is those types of people sometime in your life that will do something to you and for you that somebody in your corner can't do. It's when people tell you you can't that you should square your shoulders and say, I can't, let me show you I can, because God promised me. And the last time I checked, when God said that, you weren't around. I didn't know you. God didn't consult with you about what he's going to do in my future. God didn't consult with you about the promise he's given me. And so I'm not going to let you talk me out of it, but I will use your hate. I will use your venom. I will use your negativity to fuel me to become what God has called me to be. The anatomy of a breakthrough. Even Jesus, Jesus needed a Judas, come on now, to fulfill the will of the Father. But you know what I love about Jesus is he never dealt with the Judas. The Judases will always deal with themselves. He never dismissed Judas. Judas always dismissed himself. And eventually, Judas hung himself. Can I tell you that the greatest enemies you will ever face, just keep serving God, keep loving God, keep working, keep moving towards where God has called you to be. And the Judases of your life, you will never have to dismiss them. You will never have to run them off. The Judases of your life will hang themselves, not literally, but figuratively. They will take care of themselves, because I'm going to tell you what, you can. God said, I'll make a table in the presence of your enemies, but it doesn't say how long the enemies are going to stay. They're going to be there when you're served, but I promise you, they're not going to want to stay the whole time you're being blessed. But you have to have the antagonist in your story to make your story great. Then the final thing that we talked about last week was every story, every breakthrough has to have a protagonist. Now, the protagonist is the hero. In our story of life, in our story of breakthrough, in our story of overcoming, that protagonist is the same every time. It is Jesus of Nazareth. It is God in the flesh. It is the power of the Son of God. Aren't you glad that Jesus loved you enough? Not that he sent somebody for you, but he came himself. He said, I tried to let Adam and Eve do it, and they could not do it. So God wrapped himself in flesh, and he said, Brandon's going to need a healer. Brandon's going to need a deliverer. Living Way is going to need somebody to worship. Living Way is going to need somebody's word to stand on. And so Jesus shows up. Can I tell you, don't concentrate on the antagonist of your life. Keep focused on the protagonist. Keep your eyes locked on Jesus. Keep your eyes and ears locked into the will of God and the word of God. And I promise you, your breakthrough is going to happen when Jesus shows up. And this is how Jesus moves. He always moves second. He always lets the enemy move first. And I wish God would have just saved me before that. You would know the goodness of God unless you knew the craziness of the enemy. You wouldn't know God as a deliverer unless the enemy ever tried to entrap you. You wouldn't be able to say, oh, he is the great physician, unless the enemy tried to make you sick or tried to kill you first. But the reason I can call God healer is because the antagonist showed up to try to make me sick. The reason that I can call God savior is because I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity because of the antagonist. The antagonist might be moving in your life, but understand this, God always moves second. And he always moves bigger. I am here to, man, the devil's been attacking me all week long. That's all right, because God's getting ready to take you, and he's going to bless you greater than the attack. He's going to make you stronger, greater than the devil's coming at you. And so when the devil shows up against you, you should know, you should be looking over his shoulder. God has to be walking in right behind you. Here we go with some of the new ingredients. Number six. A lot of this won't be new ground, but it needs repeating. Number six ingredients is the Word of God. Now, I'm going to say this without taking people to task as much as I can. But if the only word you get is on a Sunday morning, you are dying. You are experiencing atrophy in your life. Let me tell you something. I read this quote between services, and at first when I read this quote, I said, that's not right. And the more I thought about it, I said, you know what? He's exactly right. And a friend of mine that I follow on social media, he says, don't believe every speech you hear. Don't believe everything your friend says. Don't believe everything your enemy says. And I was amen. And then he said this, don't believe everything your pastor said. And I'm like, hold on now. Don't believe every sermon you hear. Like, hold on now. But he kept on going and he said, you need to take everything you hear and compare it to the Word of God. And if your pastor is out of line, you give him a pass one time. But if it happens more often than not, then you need to find you another pastor and another church. Every once in a while, your pastor might miss it. I might miss it. I might speak out of Brandon's mouth instead of being the vessel for God to use. But understand this, the word of God on Sunday from your pastor's mouth, from your preacher, from a podcast, all of that is great. But remember, it is just a resource. It is just a supplement. What God needs every believer to do from the platform to the parking lot is open the book up, open it up on your phone and get you a highlighter out, get you some resources, get you Greek, get you Hebrew, get you a study Bible, write in the margins, get you a highlighter, get you a journal, and write. Why? Because the Word of God is alive. It's bigger than Sunday morning. It's bigger than a sermon. Come on, I could preach all day and not even get started on who God is and what He's given you and what He's promised you. We got 66 books of God's promises, yet we quote the same three scriptures over and over again. Get you a new go-to verse. Get you a new word to stand on. Read something that makes you uncomfortable at least once a week. Read something that hurts when you first read it. Read something that hits you between the eyes and says, come on, that doesn't sound like Ephesians 3:20 and Matthew 6:33 and John 3:16. And God said, hey, there's a lot more than those three verses. You got to have the Word of God. If you're going to have a real breakthrough, you've got to have the Word of God from your spirit coming out of your mouth. Listen, the elders of the church, we're here to pray for you. We're here to lay hands on you. Right now, we're socially distanced, but I'm here to tell you, God has never been closer to believers that are opening up His Word and saying, all right, God, this is what you wrote. I'm talking to you about it. Talk back to me about it. Give me something fresh. Give me a new spin on something I've been reading my entire life. Get the Word of God in you. People in this building, quit reading so much political propaganda. I'll tell you right now, Joe Biden's lying about a lot of the things that you're hearing. But I got news for you. Donald Trump is lying about a lot of the things he's telling you. That's what politicians do. They tell you what you want, what they think you want to hear to keep them in office so they can keep doing what they're doing. You pray for them, but you get in your word. You posting this political statement and you sharing this political post, I know it makes you feel good, but nothing can change until we get founded in the Word of God. Read more Word and less news. Read more Word and less Wall Street Journal. You can make more money reading the Word of God than you can the financial section. You can learn more about relationships by reading the Word of God than you can some self-help book. We've got to get back to the black back book that started it all. It is alive and contains every answer to every question we will ever need. Get back to the Word of God. But we as believers sometimes expect God to be the God of the breakthrough, and we just sit back and we're just watching the show. He's not a magician. This is not entertainment. You are an active part of your breakthrough. God shows up and does the impossible, but you got to do the possible. And what's the possible? Reading the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, standing on the Word of God, declaring the Word of God, faithing the Word of God until your breakthrough happens. Well, I don't know what to say. Whose fault is that? Some of us are reading to read and not reading to learn. One of the things that I've never been a fan of is reading the entire Bible in a year. Sometimes it takes me a month to get through a verse. Sometimes it takes me 6 months just to get through the few chapters of Galatians. We want to read for quality, not quantity. We are reading to learn the identity of Christ, the identity of me in Christ, the nature of God. Because if I know God, I'm going to know what to do in every situation, and I will get my breakthrough when I know the Word of God. When I know the Word of God. I have fallen in love with the Word of God like never before in this pandemic. I am reading. I am meditating for life, not for sermon. Some of the greatest things that God has told me, I said, I can't wait to preach that. And Sister Gloria, he said, don't preach that. That's for you. That has nothing to do with Sunday series. That has nothing to do with Saturday and Wednesday night. That's so that you can be the husband I've called you to be. And let me just back up and say this. This is not in my notes, so I'll just say this. If we spent more time in the Word of God, we'd need less breakthroughs. If we spent more time, we would need less miracles, and the miraculous would be an everyday occurrence because we're living and walking with God, and we understand God on a different way because we've read His love letter to us, and it's a part of our lives. We wouldn't need a breakthrough every 30 days because every 30 minutes I'm in His Word, and when I'm not opening the Bible, it's just regenerating in my spirit all day long. One of the best things you can do is read one verse before you go to work. And then just think about it all day. That's meditation. Unpack that thing. Last night, I preached for 30 minutes on Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, and I still had about half of my notes left. One verse. Just unpacking that thing. You need the Word of God for your breakthrough. Number 7 ingredient you have to have, and I know this is going to seem so cliche, but you better have some faith. And when I say some faith, I'm talking about your faith that has been proven and tested. Man, David's out there. He's killed lions. He's killed bears. And now he's standing nose to nose, getting ready to stand nose to nose with a Philistine. And Saul, who, mind you, is scared to fight Goliath. Read your Bible. Saul was a giant himself. The Bible says he stood head and shoulders over the rest of Israel. So God's giant was scared to fight the Philistine's giant. And this is what he said. He said, David, wear my armor. Never wear somebody's armor who refuses to fight. David was political because he knew he was talking to the king. And so he said something like, I'm sorry, king, but I haven't proven that. What he was really saying is, I love this. You haven't proven it. Because if you proved what you were wanting me to wear, you wouldn't be asking me to wear it. You would have it on, and you would be fighting. But the reason that I'm here is because God is tired of you standing in the corner begging for a breakthrough for Israel to be delivered from out from under the hand of the Philistine. And so God called a little 145-pound, 5'5" shepherd boy named David. I don't need your armor because it hasn't been proven. You haven't proven it, and so I'm not going to wear it. But what I have proven is this sling in my hand. What I have proven is there is a God that will not be mocked. What I have proven is the same God on the backside of the mountain is the same God that's going to go with me in the valley. My faith says I can. Other people say I can't. It's not that I can't. It's because they won't. Don't let somebody else's won't determine what you can or cannot do. Somebody ought to give praise to God right now for that revelation. Just because they say you, they want you to wear it, it's not because it's for you. He said, I haven't proven it, you haven't proven it, and so I'm going to go with what I know works. One of the worst things you can do is change up your strategy in the middle of a fight. One of the worst things you can do. I'm a big UFC fan. I like those guys just getting in there and just wailing on each other. And I don't like the old, I've been watching UFC since the beginning when there was no weight classes, there was nothing was illegal, and you'd watch a 400-pound sumo guy fight a 165 karate guy. I like that, but one of the greatest fighters ever was named Hoist Gracie. Now, Hoist Gracie, he was like a python, a boa constrictor. He'd get you on the ground, and he would just wrap you up. It was the most boring fight to ever watch. I like those fights where they just stand toe-to-toe and just hit each other. Something about it. I don't know. I just like watching it. Brock Lesnar, one of the greatest UFC fighters ever, got in trouble and lost his championship because he quit doing what he was good at. And he would try to change the way he fought by who he was fighting. You can't change the way you fight because of what's coming at you. You have to fight however good you are fight. I'm not going to get on the ground with you. I'm going to make you stand and go toe-to-toe with me. And some of us are too busy trying to change the way we fight this enemy, and all this enemy's coming, so I'm going to do it. No, I'm going to do it like I've always done it. I beat the bear. I beat the lion. And this uncircumcised Philistine is going to be the same way. I said all that to say this. Your faith is going to be the only thing that works. works for you. Not bishop's faith, not some pastor's faith, not some prophet's faith. It's your faith. And if your faith is going to work or not work for you, then don't worry about how someone else is doing it. Don't worry about my faith. Look in the mirror and say, all right, man, you better make sure that when you leave this house today, you've got enough faith to get you through whatever the devil has set up between you and your miracle. My faith works for me. My faith works for me. Bishop tells the story of one of the greatest ministers, preachers, pastors ever to live, one of the greatest faith preachers ever. He was at a Bible school preaching, and he told this story at the end of his sermon, and he said, I just gave away my jet. And when I gave away my jet, he said, one of my friends blessed me with a brand new jet. And I wouldn't receive the brand new jet until I gave away my old jet. Now remember, this is a faith-filled pastor and preacher of probably 50 years talking to a bunch of college Bible school students who are 18, 19, 20 years old. And so he preached that, and one of the young men sitting on the third, fourth row went and gave away his car that day. Next year, the same pastor comes and preaches, and that boy waits for him in the altar. At the end of the service, that boy walks up. He's been mad for a year. Pastor, I'm mad at you. Son, why are you mad at me? This time last year, you stood right there on that platform, and you talked about giving away your jet, and God bless you with a bigger jet that week. I gave away my car last year, and I've been walking ever since. That pastor said this: you gave your car according to my faith, not according to your faith. He said you should have given your shoes away, not your car. See, and there's no problem with young faith, new faith, baby faith, because the Bible says mustard seed faith moves mountains. You've got enough faith to do whatever's in front of you. You've got enough faith, come on, church, to break through whatever the enemy has put between you and God-given destiny. You just got to get your eyes off of her faith and his faith and get your eyes on your faith and what God has called you to do. Somebody say, I've got faith. Number 8, you've got to have, come on, church, the Holy Ghost. We are a Holy Ghost church. If you are full of the Holy Ghost, I want you to jump up on your feet right now, and I want you to let that spirit go right now for 20 seconds. You don't even see it right now, but breakthroughs are happening just at the use of that gift, just at the unleashing of that power in Jesus' name. All right, you can sit down. Man, more of you Holy Ghost filled than I thought. Even the balcony's Holy Ghost filled. I see you up there. The Holy Ghost is not a parlor trick. It's not something. I'm not even going to tell you. There's a new satire account on social media, on Instagram, that just makes fun of church. And it's we don't know who is over the account, but it is a church person because they know way too much about church stuff. And it is funny. But you got one of those up there, and there's a guy who is literally teaching how to speak in tongues. And so he's literally standing there, and this is serious. This is something that this website's taken to make fun of. And he's saying, all right, repeat after me. Reba Sha. Robo Si. The problem is my language is different than your language. And your language is different than my language. It's not see my tie, tie my tie, see my tie, tie my tie. Hyundai, Honda, Civic, Accord. Your Holy Ghost is your Holy Ghost. Don't let anybody say it's supposed to sound like this. It's supposed to be like this. No, when God gives you, God's going to give you something that nobody else has. It's going to sound different. You say, well, I sound funny. We all sound funny, but you know what it sounds like to the enemy? It sounds like all of heaven is coming with you. And what I can't see in the spirit is angels that are 10 feet tall are standing to my left, standing to your right. They go before me. They walk after me. You better have the Holy Ghost. This is that church. This is that church. This is the church where we want you to be filled on the second to the last row in the middle of the announcements. We want God to move like he did in the upper room. We want him to move through the screens on your smartphone or your laptop, and you be filled in your kitchen, in your living room, in your dorm room. You better have the Holy Ghost for a breakthrough. Remember, it's not a step through. It's a breakthrough. And to have breakthrough, you're going to have power. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will have power. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. He says, I'm operating at a different level than everybody else. Can I encourage you today? The moment you switch from Spanish to Hiradabasi, the moment you switch from English to Robosita, there is something that happens. I believe that there is actual scientific evidence that when we speak in tongues, that a part of our brain that lies dormant becomes alive. Come on. That means the chemical makeup of your body changes when you start speaking in the Holy Ghost. If it changes your body, it'll change your family. If it changes your family, it'll change your generation. I need a Holy Ghost filled church that understands some of your breakthroughs only happen through the Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah! The Holy Ghost. I can't get away from the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you that in the last 3 weeks, I've had some of the worst business things happened in my entire life. It came on the heels of me and Bishop touting and talking about the goodness of God and that our business is better than it's been in the last 20 years. And I'm here to tell you that sometimes when I want to complain about it, God says, shut up and speak in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes when I want to sit down and quit, God says, you're this close to the greatest business breakthrough you've ever had. I can't trust you to talk, just pray in tongues. Sometimes God can't trust you to talk, and all you've got left is the Holy Ghost. Don't go backwards. Don't slide that way. Stand firm. You're going to see the salvation of the Lord. And if you don't know what to do, if you've run out of words to pray, pray in the Holy Ghost. Number 9, you have to have the want to. This is something that I believe with all of my heart. And I'm going to watch how I say this, because I don't want anyone to misconstrue what I'm saying. Is there such thing as privilege? Of course there is. There is privilege in our country for certain races, for certain genders, for certain ages, for certain political persuasion. We are not going to pretend that privilege does not exist. But what I will tell you this is, for every excuse that we use as to why we can't break through, there's somebody with the same age that we have that has already broken through. There's somebody with the same political persuasion that has already broken through. There is somebody that had a single mom that had to work 4 jobs, that you were born on the wrong side of the tracks, and socially, economically, you were not born with a silver spoon in your mouth. But you keep using that as an excuse, because someone on the other side of town had the same excuse. They just had the want to say, I might have to work twice as hard. I might have to put up with twice as much garbage, but I'm going to put my head down. I'm going to operate in faith. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to turn the other cheek. I'm going to protest if I have to, but I'm going to have the want to get to where God has called me to be. God is not surprised that you were born black. God is not shocked that you were born a woman. God is not surprised that you were born in 2003 and here you stand 17 getting ready to become an adult in a crazy world. God knew what color you were going to be, what gender you were going to be, what age you were going to be, whose parents you were going to be born into, what country you were going to be born into, what church you'd be sitting at today. And all he's saying is if you'll take all these ingredients and if you'll get the one, two, I'll get you to wherever I've called you to be. No more excuses. No more whining. Just winning. No more complaining. Just courage. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Just means it's possible. Just means it's possible. Tenth, final thing, is momentum. You got to have momentum. You can't bust through without momentum. You ever seen in the movies when a door's locked? I've been binge watching Criminal Minds. You got to pray through after you watch that. I've been keeping a really good eye on Mandy since I started watching that. Been checking the doors 3 times, making sure all the alarms are on and the weapons are ready. But when there's a locked door and they knock on that door, let me in, FBI, please. When they don't come in or they don't let them in, there's one guy on there. He's not on there. Spoiler alert, Morgan doesn't make it to the end of the show. Sorry, some of y'all are really disappointed. Morgan would back up about 5 steps and run towards that door and kick that door in every time. He had to go back before he could go forward. Some of y'all have been going backwards in 2020. You weren't backsliding. You were just getting ready to unleash some momentum. It wasn't that you did something wrong. You were taking a couple steps back because you said, I'm getting ready to bust through that thing that has kept me back, kept me down, kept me from being what God has called me to be. Momentum is built by moments. That's why we never discredit a small victory. We hear about the lions and bears, but I'm sure, Chris, that there was a fox or two. I'm sure that there was maybe a coyote in the pasture that David dealt with before he got. Never underestimate a moment. Pastor, I don't know if I can get to where God has called me to be. Just start today. One of my biggest phrases, some of you have heard me say it a lot this year in times of trouble. I don't know if I've ever said it on the platform. You know how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. See, some of us are looking at the size of what we're trying to break through. It's too big. It is too big, but God didn't say you got to defeat it in one day. He said, take a bite today and then wake up and take a bite tomorrow for breakfast. And then at lunch, take it another. Come on, pray one prayer today and get that momentum building. Praise God tomorrow and get that momentum. Push through, quit on Wednesday and build some more momentum. I'll end with this story, 2 minutes. Does anybody know a man by the name of Roger Bannister? Roger Bannister, I believe it was in 1964. He was the first man in recorded history, 1954, to break the 4-minute mile. It had never been broken before until Roger Bannister ran and broke it at 3:59. And four-tenths of a second. The 4-minute barrier had stood for decades until Roger Bannister showed up. And when it fell, the very circumstances in which he broke it on that day were dominated because the experts in the field said that the only way that a human being would ever break the 4-minute mile is that the conditions would have to be perfect. It would have to be a 68-degree day with no humidity. It would have to be on a hard, dry, clay track, and there would have to be 50 or 60,000 people in the stands to provide adrenaline for him to push through. Can I tell you, church, in closing, that your breakthrough will never have perfect conditions for you to get through, that you're going to have to learn how to run in the rain. You're going to have to learn how to prepare in the pain. You're going to have to learn how to push through whatever you are feeling. So Bannister on that day put in his best performance ever. It was a cold day. It was raining. And some people say that there was just a few hundred people there because of the weather. Yet in front of a few hundred in Oxford, England, Roger Bannister broke through
the four-minute barrier.
It had never been done before. 6,000 years of humanity, hundreds of years of recording time, and one man in England finally did what thousands had failed to do. I'm sure in Roger's mind, this record will stand for the rest of time. Only for 46 days later, a man named John Landy in Australia not only broke the record, but he broke it by a full second. A year later, church, three runners broke the barrier in the same race. What was thought as impossible 14 months before now was becoming probable because one man said, I'm going to break through where no one else has broken through. Over the last century, thousands of runners have conquered that barrier. There's two Wharton School professors that wrote a book called The Power of the Impossible. They emphasized the mindset of Bannister's feat and said that it was more mind than physical achievement. How is it, they wonder, that so many runners now have smashed that four-minute barrier? Was it because there was a sudden growth spurt in human evolution? Was there a genetic engineering experiment that created a new super race of super runners? Nope. What changed was their mental model. That once somebody else broke through, they gave hope to somebody else that if they broke through, I can break through. Come on, church, stand to your feet. Can I tell you that it's more of a spiritual and mental model than it is physical? You've got what it takes. There has been somebody else. How many people in this church have overcome cancer? Just raise your hand. Come on now, dozens of hands going up all over this building today. If you've got cancer, it's a mental model. You can break through because somebody else has broken through. It's a mental model. When somebody else does it, they give you faith to do it. Going back to number five, you got to read your word. Because I see guys like Peter, who I identify a lot with. I see him fail, and then I see him get back up and succeed. I see a guy like Jairus, who fought for his family, and when he received his breakthrough, he pulled his children with him. I see over and over men and women with impossibilities receive their breakthrough. I want to tell you, this church is full of people who've had breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. And we've opened the floodgates. We've made it easier for you. Let me tell you something. I preached in churches with less than five people, honest to God. I remember I went and preached for a church one time. It was the pastor, his wife, and one other person. And I preached as hard there as I did today. But I'm going to tell you what, it's easy to preach at Living Way because we have so many barrier breakers. We have so many people that have been through, broken through. So I say that to say this, if you're in here and you're fighting for a breakthrough and you raised your hand 35 minutes ago, I want you to join us right now in this place, in this altar. This is a moment for you. You're watching.